The Heritage End of Year Fund Drive is officially on. Become a member today at heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
Hello, and welcome to Cutting the Curd. This is your host, or should I say one of your hosts, Elena Santigade.
Yes, one third.
It's a little preview, listeners. There's other people here in the studio with me. Today's show caps off our fall season here at Cutting the Curd, and we decided to do something a little different with the format today. I know it's going to be fun for me, and listeners, we're hoping it's a fun respite for you too as you ride through the rest of this holiday season. I have in studio with me right now, if you didn't guess it already, fellow hosts Diane Stemple and Aaron Foster.
Greetings. Hello. I like the idea that we just... Oh, there it is. Baba Booey. Just that we go around in a trench coat. Each of us, you be on my shoulders and then Diane be on your shoulders and just access to adult events.
Yeah, we're going to start traveling as a three-person trench coat body.
Mm-hmm. The world's tallest cheesemonger. That's
right. Ooh, there's a fourth.
Wow, that's the engineer. That's Matt with a little surprise appearance.
I didn't know he could do that.
Me either. That really freaks me out. Okay, here's how the show is going to work today. Okay. I have some questions for the group. We're a chatty bunch, so I'm sure this is going to go in all different directions. Are you ready?
Yeah. I tried to prepare.
Mm-hmm. I think spontaneity is the secret to happiness.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the secret to Diane's happiness here.
So go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, here we go. First question. What is your desert island cheese?
Oh, forget it. I want the Mount Rushmore question.
You want to go right into the big guns?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I can answer the same for both.
Aaron's shrugging.
I can answer the same for both.
I like how aggressive you are.
Yeah, that she immediately just rejects my... This is the problem. This is maybe why we don't normally have three hosts in the studio at once.
First of all, I hate those questions.
Wow.
Desert island cheese?
Wow. Hate is a strong word.
You hate desert island cheese?
Well, no. I hate... being asked as a cheese person, my favorite cheese.
Well, I didn't ask you
that. That is a good point. As a on a counter.
Yeah,
that's tough. Although I would hope that by this point you have a strategy for answering that question.
Well, first of
whatever's
all,
whatever's on sale.
And
first of all,
true owner.
Do I want to admit ever my favorite cheese? First of all, second of all. It's always changing.
Well, wait, does that mean because answer. You're afraid to ruin it for that everyone's going to buy it and you're not going to be able to get it for cheap anymore? Is that?
No. I think it's will my favorite cheese not be respectable enough?
Mm. Oh, is it? Oh, so you're having a little self-confidence.
That makes me want to know it much more now.
Yes, yeah, but I don't even have one.
Well,
no.
Here's the thing, okay. Diane. Excuse me. I want to make a point of clarification about the question.
Okay.
Point of order here.
Point of order.
Yeah.
I didn't ask what your favorite cheese was.
Correct.
I asked you for your desert island cheese, which is different because if you think about it, my answer for desert island cheese is not actually my favorite cheese.
Well, because it has to last.
Well,
yes, that's my question as well. Do we have refrigeration right, on the desert island?
Right, exactly. Or does it have to be a very hearty
and also,
cheese?
And also, are we having a lot of tropical fruit? What pairings are available on the desert
island?
Oh,
see, my thinking was I want to get off the island as quickly as, if I'm marooned on a desert island, I'm thinking, well, will a whole Emmental float? It has all those bubbles. I could use it as a raft and escape.
I do not think Emmental floats.
You know what? My answer to the question is Comté, and I kind of think I could use it as a raft.
Oh, you, of course, have an answer to the question because you asked it.
Well, I
would say that I also, my answer is also Comté.
What? Is it really? Did you copy?
Is it?
Did you write
it down?
It says
it right here. It's printed out.
Aaron had printed it out.
It's a specific Comté.
Why?
It's fancy Comté.
I'm not choosing junk Comté.
Daphne's Comté?
I suppose it is, yeah. It is Daphne's Comté.
Tell us more about...
Well, that's good.
Tell us
that's
more
good.
About what that means, Aaron.
Well, so, Daphne, of course, rest in peace, was the genesis behind the Essex Street Cheese Company, along with some other phenomenal cheese folks. And the Comté we're talking about, the Comté I should say I'm talking about, is the Marcel Petit Comté Sagesse, the extra age, less than 1% of all the wheels in their fort would ever make it to this level or could be selected to be aged out for this long. And of course, we just got our wheel, and every year I look forward to it, and it is phenomenal.
And how old is it?
I think ours is about 32 months right now. 32.
And is it utterly delicious?
It's phenomenal. It's always different. You know, the one of the issues with aging Comté that long is that sometimes it gets a little prickly, or sometimes it doesn't really. You sacrifice balance for intensity. And I think the French in general, they kind of sneer, those Comté people. They're always like, you guys and your age, geez.
Wait, they sneer at sacrificing?
Well, that we want the oldest. The Americans we always want the oldest, biggest wheel. The most intense flavor. So, you know, what's interesting is, I chose Comté not even really thinking about a specific age profile, but I chose it for a different reason in that I felt like the subtleties of Comté would keep me entertained while I was marooned on the desert island. The complexities, like all of, I mean, to me, overall, at almost any age profile, maybe after those early 4 month, you know, more
periods.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I sort of went with the same direction, but for me it was, if we're moving on a desert island, it's hot and lonely, and I want a large wheel.
Right. So you can sort of feel like you're, well, first of all, it'll last.
Right. You could bury it under the sand.
And,
it's going to hold up.
You could have
Do
a little.
Do you know that?
Well.
Do you know?
Has anyone
if
tried?
You bury cheese in the sand, the
Is
sand
it preserved?
Won't
I mean,
mess it up?
I don't think, I can't imagine. I think it's better than burying the ground. It's like a fossa, kind of.
Yeah. Have you
or
ever
leaving
been
it out in the sun
for
the crabs to get at it.
It's like
you know,
a fossa.
Yeah. Listeners, the fossa.
Okay.
Tuscany.
Okay. Well, you know, I
still. Diane's
still
refusing to answer the question.
Okay. If I will answer with an old favorite.
All right. So just say the name of the cheese and then we'll move on.
I want to explain.
All right. Well, let's hear it.
Then you're going to lose time on your Rushmore answer. So.
Oh, okay. Ascutney Mountain.
Oh.
Whoa, that is
an old favorite.
An old favorite.
Who I recently heard is available somewhere soon.
It's around. I've
and
seen it.
I don't know if it's
some hippie cheese right there.
As delicious as it used to be. I sold it at Murray's way back. And when I was going to ACS to be a judge, I had announced, I'm going to make Ascutney Mountain win.
So this is Cobb. Well, I don't really think that's what you're supposed to be doing.
No, you're not.
But so I would say that. And
Diane
you were never invited back
never
to judge again.
So then when
it's Cobb Hill, Ascutney Mountain Tum,
yes,
right?
That's, yes,
Vermont.
Yes, yes.
Vermont.
So
classic.
Then when it was in contention, I had to let my co-judge vote because I
had showed your
said it
colors.
Out loud that I was going to make Ascutney Mountain win.
You would be kicked off the jury
exactly,
real fast.
Exactly.
Well, good. Then I'm glad the system apparently works
the system
as it should.
Works.
Right, right.
Okay.
But only because I took initiative.
The Mount Rushmore of cheese. Listeners, the prompt here was, if you could replace the presidents on that mount with cheeses, what cheeses do you feel are worthy of the honor?
I've got some arguments. First of all, your favorite cheese is always changing. Then
why are we back on favorites?
Is it because
my favorite president isn't?
Okay.
No.
Does it have
it's not
to
Jefferson.
Be all American?
Well,
to be
yes. Excellent
on
question.
Mount
I thought that was
Rushmore.
I thought it was good to that I didn't define that. I wanted to hear what you might say.
Well,
my first question was also, does it have to be American?
Right. Big question.
Now,
all right. Let's save just for the moment. If not,
yeah. Let's just. It's open. It's an open question. You can choose, but you have to make an argument.
My next question is: does it have to be a cheese plate?
What?
Like, do you want four cheeses?
Yes, that was the question. That
go
was the prompt.
Well,
what would
together.
Be the alternative? Oh, I see. Oh,
yeah,
I see.
Yeah, yeah. Well, are you
harmony.
Them all at
no,
once?
No, I mean, I don't think anybody thought like, wow,
like,
Jefferson
like,
and Lincoln
yeah.
look really good up there,
right,
but we should probably not do
Washington and
McKinley.
Roosevelt shouldn't be next to each other. You know, it's,
no.
They look too similar.
No, but do you need a blue?
No, I think you don't need cheese plate selection approach with the Mount Rushmore of cheese.
Well, here,
no,
if we're not doing American, if we're just all cheese all the time,
yeah.
I feel like you have to generalize. I had just, if it was that,
okay.
Parm, cheddar, brie, and feta.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Oh my God.
Yeah, so you went with the global greats. Now here's mine are
that I wasn't what I went with. That was just if we went
if
that
you went
yes.
with oh, all okay. of them.
I have so three responses.
I love that. I went with an all-American selection, and I related the cheeses to the presidents that they would replace.
Oh, smart.
I was wondering about that.
All right. So clever. I didn't even think of the president.
Do you want to hear my pick?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Okay.
George Washington, which I'm kind of considering the OG.
Well, you know, he likes things aged on wood.
Woo!
That made Diane
Diane's
drop
having
her clipboard.
Far too much fun.
All right. Okay. George Washington, I am replacing with Pleasant Ridge Reserve.
Oh, thank you.
I have that on thank one you. Of my lists.
Thomas
as well.
Jefferson, our Virginia neighbor, I'm replacing with, maybe you could guess.
Grayson.
Oh, good. Oh, for Virginia. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Abraham Lincoln, bringing people together.
Abraham Lincoln.
I've replaced Abraham Lincoln with Bonne Bouche. A cheese for all the nation.
That was definitely, I was in consideration.
And but. Goat.
And goat, which changes it up a little. And finally, Teddy Roosevelt, man of nature and land and the wild...
Harbison.
Rogue River.
So I also had Rogue River and Uplands Pleasant Ridge
okay.
on my... If we're talking about new modern classics.
You're talking about American.
Yes, yes.
Okay. I had Humboldt Fog on as well.
That's now nice.
I considered that. Or Truffle Tremor, which I like better.
And you could make an argument that now that it's owned by Intersource and Rothkit, that there is an international component there.
Right.
But I did feel... And I certainly acknowledge Bonne Bouche. But those soft ripened cheeses are more recent. I think you could have gone with Judy Shadd's cheeses.
Right. I thought about Capriole.
But Humboldt Fog just has moved mountains within the industry.
Mm.
And now whether it's still American. I also had Harbison on there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because I felt like a wood age, soft ripened.
Right.
Needed. And it was, is it Winnemere? Is it Rush Creek?
Right. I felt that was a little modern.
Well, so I have them under new modern classics, not Rushmore.
This is Aaron Foster. Question answer B.
So what was
and the other third one is if we're just talking giants of American cheese history,
which is sort of how I answered it.
Well, so I also had Humboldt Fog on that list, but I had Dry Jack.
Oh, Vella.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then I had just Vermont cheddar.
Okay.
But I also, I said, or New York State cheddar or Oregon cheddar, just a classic cheddar from an important cheddar state.
Okay.
And then I had brick cheese as well.
Oh, Widmer's.
Yeah. I also had Telame was in my batter circle.
Oh,
just
historically
important American original styles.
And to me, I would even amend, I'd like carve into the side of the mountain, maybe just like a little around the corner. I'd carve in Widmer's brick cold pack because I love that.
That might be a prompt later,
I'm telling you, go to Wisconsin and have some.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to spread that on everything.
Oh.
Stanky.
So good.
Well, I didn't have any because
you refused
I just
to answer
had
the question.
Questions. I just had
she
questions.
Had questions as her answer.
And I want to know if, should it be American? Okay, probably. And then what do you do with the two excellent blues, Rogue River versus Bailey Hazen?
Mm.
Now, I do work for Jasper, so maybe I'm biased, but I pick Rogue River.
You don't work
River.
For Ascutney Mountain. You're biased there, too.
Right. I pick Rogue River.
Uh-huh.
Then do we go with Rush Creek or Harbison?
I felt like Rush Creek was too new.
Too new. Okay.
And I felt like Winnemere was too niche and seasonal, and I think Harbison has really made that style approachable to
a wider
supermarket, wider audience customer, and is still damn good.
Okay.
I just had Harbison yesterday.
Yeah.
In the middle, do we... include goat and sheep or just all cow?
Well, so that
do we care?
The classics tend to be mostly cow and a little goat.
We're not a small ruminant country historically. I mean, I'm excited for if now let's say we do this.
I don't have sheep anywhere here
next year. Yeah, sheep's not on here. But let's say we do this show in the future.
What is the best sheep in America?
Well, so I did. I also entertained. I will say I entertained Vermont Shepherd as well as an early American great.
Okay, that's good.
That cheese has changed a lot, I think, and different makers and just the whole thing. But I thought it was important. you know, they've been doing sheep for some time.
And right. And if there were six presidents, that would be appropriate.
I think there's been like 40 odd, right?
No. If there were six on the mountain.
Okay.
40 odd, yes.
Here's,
40
odd. Well, less because some have two terms.
Diane, let's start with you for this one.
Oh,
fewer,
no.
Fewer.
Oh, no.
What is a life-changing cheese pairing that you've had? I'm not asking for your favorite.
Uh-oh.
Oh, good. I don't want to hear that word again.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got a few complaints about this question, too.
Oh, my goodness.
I have never about been.
Do we know, is your other business, are people aware of what your day job is?
Well, they are because she was outed earlier this season on air.
I don't know if they know it now.
Well, can I out you?
Yeah,
she's already been outed.
So Diane is also a therapist. And
oh,
I just wonder.
I don't like answering questions.
And I
what
just
kind of
wonder. You don't like
warfare
answering,
she's doing to me right
well,
now.
Well, but then I wonder, what if her clients came in and gave her this guff?
Yeah. Oh, they do all the time.
I don't like the question.
Maybe that's where she's getting
no,
it.
No. It's more, I think you're right. And I did not realize it till just now. Therapists don't like to answer questions.
Am I analyzing you right now?
You are. And I didn't realize it.
Well, that's why therapists see therapists.
Whoa.
Diane
has
slouched down a little bit in her
chair.
Oh,
dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Okay.
But
let's start with Aaron.
The answer is
okay.
That first I was, as you know, into red wine.
Right.
Then I briefly flirted with white wine. Mm-hmm. And now I am totally into beer. So
yeah, you've been into beer
my
phase for a
pairing
while.
Situation and recollection has been topsy-turvy. All so right. I don't have a good answer.
That's okay. That's okay. I have an answer that is, there is a beverage component.
It also doesn't have to be booze, right?
But
right?
The main pairing that I thought of wasn't booze.
Oh, what
Are
was
you ready?
It? Coffee?
Delice de Bourgogne. Paired with Luxardo maraschino cherries.
Wow.
It's crazy.
I will say that's tamer than I thought maybe you were going.
It's just, no, to me, it's like the sexiest cheese pairing ever.
That's what I was wondering.
And
I want to taste it.
Yes, everybody needs to go have that.
Okay.
And then if you want a beverage with it, a little Pinot Noir would be fine. But I would say, like, that's a side note. Have the maraschino. Make sure it's the incredible Luxardo brand.
Yeah.
And Delice.
Well, I'll hold mine for after the break.
You could say
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
Should
break.
I say it?
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Well,
I think you should do it.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm not known for, like, blasé
pairings.
No,
oh,
no.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I do have some thoughts about that. But I would say I've been in the business for, like, 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the prompt was more, like, what is a life-changing cheese?
Right.
And so, like, a lot of pairings have sort of been life-changing for me.
Right.
Like, when I was first getting into cheese, Point Reyes Blue or Roquefort on toasted rye with some Hungarian palenka that my roommate smuggled back.
Oh,
and
explain to for our listeners what Hungarian palenka
so,
is.
So like an eau de vie, like a very rustic village made eau de vie, in this
so
case made
like
from apricots.
Spirit,
yeah, like slivovitz or something like that. some of the, I've often found that some of the best are actually the classics, like Van Joan and Comté.
There's a reason it's classic.
I was lucky enough to have a bottle of Van Joan 2011 Puffini on Saturday evening.
I don't even know what that is.
It's delicious. That's what.
With the Comté Sagesse. And
oh.
Damn if it isn't as good as they say.
Why didn't you invite us, Aaron?
yeah, because then I would have had to share. or even Old Port and Stilton.
Yeah, great
it
combo.
It just is damn good.
It really is. All right. It's that time. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment with more musings and debate. If Diane has
spirited
anything to say on all things cheese.
For the past 10 years, Heritage Radio Network has brought listeners around the world the most important voices in food and drink. I'm Matt Patterson, the lead engineer here at HRN. 6 years ago, when I was teaching myself to brew beer out in San Diego, I listened to Heritage Radio shows for tips, tricks, and inspiration. Heritage Radio's programming simply would not be possible without the support of listeners like you. Become a member of Heritage Radio Network today and give HRN a strong start to our second decade. Choose from exclusive member gifts and stay in the loop on discounts to upcoming events. Now is the best time to show your support for HRN. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
Welcome back to Cutting the Curd.
Oh, we
are. I'm Elena Sandigade, and
oh, we're on.
Here to Diane Stemple and Aaron Foster here today with me in the studio, relaxing.
I like not being in charge.
Yeah, you didn't even have your headphones.
I can't tell at all.
Well,
I'm a guest.
Today's show is a bit of a roundtable party show.
Listeners, we're drinking. We're drinking. We're eating.
We're having some beer.
Some of us more than others.
You can hear maybe that I'm tasting some cheese. Thanks to our buddy Aaron here. Foster Sundry brought over some Calderwood, I think is what I'm tasting right now. So essentially, we're just hanging out in here. But when you get cheese people together, obviously, something's happening. Inevitably, you're either doing a sensory analysis or debating cheese royalty or comparing battle wounds. So let's jump into the next question, which is unsung hero cheese. I like this prompt. What is your unsung hero cheese? A cheese you initially overlooked, then at some point embraced.
Diane, what's your problem with this question?
Yeah, where's the complaint?
I did not pay attention.
You didn't answer the question, did you?
I didn't answer.
You didn't even see it because it was lower on the list. Oh my God.
No, but
God.
I do have an answer for the lowbrow confession.
Well, we haven't gotten there yet.
Figures. Just because you didn't answer it doesn't mean we don't want to.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Please do.
Aaron, what's your unsung hero?
It's got to be British Territorials for me. And I know they're only unsung. They're not unsung in England. I mean, I think. But man, if you've ever tried to sell Cheshire on a cheese counter, you know what an unsung hero it is.
Oh,
that
man.
Cheese can be damn good. Like, it's full of umami and seaweed and, like, smoked salmon flavors. And
it's really unusual.
Or Lancashire with that, like, you know, hard-boiled egg.
The biscuity note.
Yep. Or Carefully, even. But cheeses that are, like, not challenging and not punch. It's like the Comté question again for Americans, where we like big punchy cheeses.
Right.
But then I think unsung heroes for me tend to be just really subtle, lovely cheeses.
Right.
That's a good answer. Well, that's, I like that answer.
Well, so that was my monger cheese. I like to call those cheesemonger cheeses. Like cheesemonger cheeses are ones that like cheesemongers love, but are actually like really hard sells on the counter.
Right. Little wonked out.
You know, like Red Leicester. All those British territorials.
They're also a little expensive.
They do tend to be. Well, that and that's the thing. Is like, well, it really depends. They're, I think, expensive across the board, but you're also talking about like flavor to price ratio, because like they could be excellent quality and like small batch of artisan cheeses, but like Americans expect to pay more for more flavor.
Yeah,
right. I think a lot of people do.
Right.
Then I also had gateway cheeses, so like Taleggio or Prairie Breeze.
Right,
and I think it would be hard to say that Prairie Breeze is an unsung hero or even Taleggio, but they don't get a ton of cred in like higher echelon cheese circles.
Mm-hmm. We're not talking about those a lot on air, but they're delicious.
Pea Breezy.
I mean, come on. Oh my gosh. Diane has dropped her clipboard again. Well, it's interesting that you say, Aaron,
I'd like to hear yours.
For you, the subtleties are sort of where the unsung heroes lie, because mine, I actually also chose Comté. Same as my Desert Island cheese.
Wow.
And I say that because
cheese. Is it the same age profile?
Right. I think it would be. Yeah. This is a more broad. Maybe I'm referring to a younger Comté with the answering this question. But I think it was a cheese that for many years I thought, like, what's the big deal? It's quiet. And then something happened to me at some point where I think I was like alone in a dark room and I started tasting quiet cheeses. And paying attention.
Like on purpose or just the power was out? Or
I think at first as
I think
many,
it's metaphorical.
No, right. In reality, as many people in the cheese industry experience, worked in places where my office was in a basement, wedged between two walk-ins.
I just left my office. Don't bring me back there.
Sorry, Aaron. But so it was probably in an office such as that.
I want to. Oh, so all right, I'd like to know. And you have nothing to add, Diane, on this front?
Because no, I do not.
No unsung hero. What's the first cheese that leaps to mind when you think unsung hero of cheese?
Fromage d'Auvergne.
Mm. Oh, that's a great answer.
And the Murray's crew.
That's a great answer.
But you know, and Diane, I think that I wish I would have guessed that, because I know that Diane's sort of Murray's crew generation, that generation of people who worked at Murray's when you did, I think all would say fromage d'Auvergne.
And do you guys remember, so like when Auvergne went on the import red list for like 6 months over the holidays?
Dark time.
No,
maybe
why?
5 years ago. No. There was just an issue. And the
an
FDA
issue,
was,
it was
I
bad.
Mean, I don't want to, I can't say, right. But I know that the FDA had held it back and had it on the watch list. And I think everything turned out just fine in the end. And mm-hmm. I don't think anybody got sick or anything like
right.
that. But it deprived the market of Auvergne. And, you know, we didn't really hear much about nobody. You don't really hear people. You always have it on the counter. And
right.
I mean, I don't personally carry it, but it's a
right.
a common cheese widely
well,
available. But when it's gone,
cheese.
People
when it's
miss
gone,
it.
People freak out.
Yeah, it's a very reliable grocery store cheese.
I think that's a great answer, Diane.
I do, too.
Maybe you should try answering some of the other questions.
Well, no, it was my answer to the lowbrow question.
So let's do lowbrow.
Yeah, let's do lowbrow. Okay, do you have any other?
Stolen my answer.
Well,
no.
I don't really think that describes what just happened. I don't think.
But I gave it
not
up.
Not answering the
I
previous one
up.
And offering another answer to a different question
right?
is not theft, per se.
Thank you,
well,
Aaron.
I stole it. I stole it off my clipboard that kept falling.
You must have been great at cheating on tests. What did I answer for question two?
Oh, my goodness.
I did cheat on a few tests, but not in grad school.
Going to
not
be
in grad
entertaining.
School. Just college.
Okay, lowbrow confessions. What,
okay.
What commonly frowned upon cheese are you willing to admit that you like to eat?
Frowned upon is a good... I had
I'll
trouble
jump
with
in.
This. I want I like wait, oh, yeah, yeah, please jump in.
Okay.
Fromage d'Auvergne.
Oh my god. All right. Okay, Elena, Aaron. what was your no, you next.
Well, I have two cheeses that I'm willing to admit.
Okay.
And one, the reason I have two is because my initial answer I thought, well, this isn't controversial enough.
Okay.
And that cheese is smoked mozzarella.
Ugh, I hate smoked mozzarella.
I love smoked mozzarella. Ugh.
I hate all smoked.
See, so maybe this
all
is
smoked,
controversial.
Smoked mozzarella, blah.
For me,
what about pecorino fiore sardo.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Come on.
That's
so
okay.
you do like some smoked cheese.
A little smoked.
What about idiazabal?
Yeah, idiazabal.
Do not like it.
Smoky blue.
Don't like it.
Hmm. Well, for me, now it is the holiday season,
mm-hmm.
and so I'll tell a little backstory, which is that my family on Christmas makes a pasta salad. That's insanely good. And the pasta salad also has like red, green, and white colors in it, which is very festive.
Yeah.
And this pasta salad involves a garlic aioli, penne pasta, spinach, roasted red peppers, and smoked mozz.
Ah.
And to me, it's one of the most comforting things. It's so good. I'm going to bring it over here.
I
your
hate
house.
Smoked mozz, and I hate it even more in
so
pasta
there you go.
Salad.
Well, this is good. So maybe my answer was controversial enough.
What was your other answer?
Well, my other answer is truffle cheese.
Oh, I love truffle cheese.
I know, but as a cheesemonger, I did not like truffle cheese. Yeah, and see, Aaron still works the counter.
It's my only additive that I like.
The thing is, I think that
what about like
if
chilies?
You're...
chilies? What about like yes. habanero, like pepper jack?
No.
Really?
So good.
See, I like...
No,
I like
it distracts too much from the cheese.
What about Yancey's Fancy Buffalo? I don't actually like that
absolutely
either, but it could be really
not.
Good.
Well...
In theory. But pepper jack. Yeah.
So you
pepper
like truffle
so
cheeses?
I've come,
which ones?
You know, the funny thing is that when I was working the counter, I was annoyed by truffle cheeses because they're like the good-looking idiot in school. And you're like, oh, yeah, everybody fawns over that good-looking person.
And
but
they're expensive.
Yeah, and it's
stupidly.
Like, and people overlook all these amazing cheeses because they go straight for the truffle and they just want truffle. So it's very easy to hate the truffle cheese when you're working the counter.
Hmm.
But since I've left the counter, I have embraced... the flavor of a good truffle cheddar, truffle. My favorite is like a bloomy sheep's milk with delicately placed truffles.
Like and which?
Well, Finca
I
Pasqualette.
Bullshit.
Finca Pasqualette makes it. What do you mean bullshit?
I carry that cheese, and it is.
It's delicious. Yeah. I love it.
What you don't? You hate it?
I love that cheese.
No, you can't say it.
No, I don't.
This
go
is
for
a perfect lowbrow confession.
But I will say,
I mean, that's not a lowbrow cheese.
I had this on my favorite bite of 2018, which I don't think we even got to.
No.
But on Saturday night again, this was like a very.
You had quite the night.
It was a schmancy dinner, and I brought some white truffle because thank you, Carrie Kimball from Mergalis. It was amazing. And I baked a Rush Creek Reserve, and I grated the truffle into it and mixed it up with a spoon.
Oh, that sounds good.
And there's
good.
A little bit on my shoe because I was a little drunk.
Can we lick it?
And
well,
I
I'm going to lick it.
It onto
it.
My shoe.
Diane is on the floor heading toward Aaron's shoe.
But my lowbrow, see, like, I'm not a man, as I've, I think, hinted at this point, not a man known for lowbrow tastes. But
he's too good for
he's
us.
He's not willing to admit it.
American cheese on burgers. It took me a long time to come around to that. Oh. I like it. Provolone on cheesesteaks, not Whiz. I'm sorry, but I can't do it. Mm. But like probably the
American cheese, really?
Like, I mean, I like cheddar, but I'll go with American, sure.
Like
I don't buy American to put on my own burgers,
slices.
But I will have it out and be perfectly happy.
Slices
sure. Yeah, okay. It's about texture, not flavor. But probably Cabot Seriously Sharp Cheddar.
Yeah.
That is like my night cheese, my fridge cheese.
You know what? It's a good cheese.
It's so good. And it's interesting because it's different than Cabot Extra Sharp.
There's a friend of ours that we all know that I can't say who it is because it's unfair.
Right.
This friend isn't here to represent themselves. But I think I know what this friend would say for their lowbrow confession.
Which
is a Cabot cheese. Everything bagel cheddar.
Wow. I've never had it.
I'm not saying
I
who it is.
I don't know. I don't know who it is. I cannot guess.
Let's start
listeners,
with a G.
Listeners, if you want to cast your ballots and guess who this person is, feel free to email us, cuttingthecurd@heritageradio.org.
Okay.
Huh. I think we're, I don't know. Huh. I don't want to leave.
No, no. We have time for another question or two.
Well, what was your best bite of 2018?
What was my best bite of 2018? I have to consult my notes. Well, you know what? It happened right here in the studio recently.
Like the Calderwood that you're eating right now?
Yes. This table. No, not the... I mean, I love Calderwood. I'm really enjoying this cheese. Thank you, Aaron. But the recent episode that I did on Parmigiano Reggiano was incredible. I tasted a Parm vertical and Roncadella blew my mind. And that's the 24-month Parmigiano sold by Zingerman's that is made by the only woman head cheesemaker in Parmigiano Reggiano production.
Cool.
The cheese, it was awesome. I mean, that to me was like, I love doing verticals, like tasting, you know, four different types of...
I like horizontals better.
Is it a horizontal?
I don't know, actually.
I say well, vertical.
Well, no, it actually is a horizontal.
Is it a horizontal?
If you're tasting different ages
you're
of
wrong.
The same product.
Right, but different
but
producers
different, I think
of
that's
the
a horizontal.
Same cheese. You think that's a horizontal?
Yeah.
What's a vertical?
I don't think it is.
A vertical is different ages of the same.
Oh, our engineer is nodding. Oh, my gosh. My okay. Well, I'm
I also
very
don't think people
happy.
Say horizontals.
Does that mean
I think
the
they just say
I think this might be the first time anybody said horizontals, and that's great. Hmm. Okay. Listeners, my favorite horizontal. Side by side. Yeah, Matt chimed in. Did you guys hear that?
Yes, I did.
Thank goodness that someone's sane here in the studio.
I would really rather you just finish that sentence.
I love
Stelis de Bourgogne.
I love the Parm. I did it. I blew my mind. It was really fun.
Cool.
All right, what about you?
I want to answer another question.
Oh my!
You didn't do that one. You didn't get to that one either, did you?
This is like too predictable, Diane.
Talk about my favorite shows.
Oh, great! Good.
Okay, you could sub that
so
in.
So I have two it, favorite shows. They're mine.
They,
I was
they're
mine.
Surprised.
That's what I thought the question meant.
What of I your wanted, own things did you do great this year?
Oh,
that's
I
that's what Santa wants to know. Always.
I want to talk about Peter Gethers, who wrote a very cool book called My Mother's Kitchen.
That was a great show.
And I interviewed him on the phone, which is unusual to have it be good, but it was a really
good
show.
It was really good. And listeners, that's episode 350.
Oh, if you want to check it out.
If you're keeping score at home.
And then I also enjoyed the Winner's Circle for ACS.
That's always fun.
And Anne Saxelby was here in Who? Studio. Anne Saxelby, do you remember her?
Doesn't ring a bell.
The founder of our show.
And she was here in studio because she helped engineer mm-hmm. Calderwood, which we are eating right now.
Wow.
And I listened to some of the show this morning, and then I had to
full
have
circle.
Calderwood and Aaron
Yeah,
Foster.
I didn't know I was bringing cheese, and then I was told which cheese to bring.
Aaron.
And it's so delicious.
How did you even know that I had it?
Well, I hoped. I
good
hoped.
Taste. Good
you
taste.
Actually just said, bring Calderwood. You didn't say... I hope you have Calderwood, and if you do, would you mind terribly bringing some for us to taste?
I thought she had already
Calderwood
told
bring
you
it.
You were bringing cheese.
Okay.
She politely asked for something to nosh on.
I thought it was a done deal, Aaron, so I just was voting.
What are your... Okay, you can answer either question. Best bite of cheese 2018 and or highlights from the Cutting the Curd 2018 season that you'd like to point out.
I feel like this is a book report that I didn't prepare adequately for.
Oh, see, that's how I feel.
It's like where
that's
Donald Trump says about anything. He's like, it's a great show. All the shows were very good. There's a show that's particularly good, but I don't want to single it out because they're all very good.
They're very nice people. They're very nice people.
Very, very great, nice people, and they're doing a lot. People are saying.
People are saying,
I'm not saying, but people are saying that Cutting the Curd is the best, the greatest show.
Ever.
Cutting the Curd.
On cheese,
on
the radio.
On that note.
Sorry. No, not on that note. Just a really amazing bite of Gorgonzola Dolce Crema Ficcato on a toasted baguette with my wife's strawberry jam.
Ooh, that does great sound good.
Strawberries, black pepper, and mint. Christine Ferber recipe. Wow. Really nice.
Oh, right.
Oh, that sounds good.
All right, folks, we've got to wrap it up. What a season. What a crew.
Thanks for inviting me to the team.
Yeah. I want to thank both of you for joining.
Oh, do I have to thank Diane?
I was a little lonely.
We have to thank Diane. Thank you for having us.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thank you for your honesty.
As 2018 comes to a close, I find myself incredibly grateful for all things cheese. From the product itself that we all love so much to the people making it happen at every level of this industry, I'm sure we can all agree that there's a lot of gratitude to go around.
That's true.
Hear, hear.
And that brings me to you, listeners. It is such a joy to connect with you, to share cheesy thoughts and ideas, and introduce you to our favorite people in cheese all through this microphone. A huge shout out to our Heritage Radio Network crew, Katie, Kat, Hannah, Matt, and everyone else who makes this show happen behind the scenes. Thank you. Diane, Aaron, love you guys.
L'chaim.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Okay, now am I supposed to do the donate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Diane's going to do a little donate.
Okay. I want you guys...
Don't drop your clipboard.
Because you love the show so much and you love the network so much, I want you to go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate and join.
Is it a forward slash or a backslash?
I think it's backslash. I don't know. I don't know that kind of thing. Anyway.
HTTP?
Yeah. Colon. Backslash, backslash.
I think it's a semicolon.
Oh, gosh. These two. They're younger than me. Anyway, so join, please. We'd love to have you. You get stuff. Or you feel good and
yeah, and you help make this show happen.
Yes.
2019 is our 10th anniversary as a radio network. Mm-hmm. There's wonderful things to come. We can't wait to see you there.
And it's a politically correct donation, I would say.
I don't know about that.
Oh, it's all good.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
I know why I waited.
Yeah, why is that?
I know why I've been so blue.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.